This is the eighth and final segment of my Easter message series, and I'm going to begin, as I have each Sunday, with a couple of questions. And these questions are based on what the preface says about us, about our reaction to Easter, or at least what it should be. So the first question is, during this past week, while you were at Wegmans, walking the dog, diapering the baby, making dinner, were you overcome with paschal joy? Okay, that's the first question. The second question also comes from the preface, and it's even more challenging because it says in the preface that we're supposed to be exulting in God's praises. Now, to exult means to be extremely joyful, not just joyful, but extremely joyful. And that word exult comes from the Latin, which literally means to leap up. So we're supposed to be leaping up in joy. So this past week at Wegmans, at home, did any of you leap up in joy because of Easter, the resurrection? So my homily series has been about the joy that is supposed to be part of our reaction, our celebration, when it comes to Easter. And of course, we're celebrating all these wonderful things that happened because of Easter that are still happening. So the resurrection, I mean, that's the key. Are we joyful because of the resurrection? Does that give us joy? Because that's the greatest thing that ever could happen in the world. The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, is alive. He wants us to be with him for all eternity. He wants us to be resurrected with him. Does that give us joy? Because certainly in the early church, it did. The people were amazed at the reality of the resurrection of Jesus, and they changed their lives. So we hear about the early Christians being of one mind and one heart. They didn't hold on to anything. They sold their possessions, gave them to the apostles so that those who didn't have enough would have what they needed to live. That's how they were changed by the resurrection. Are we being changed each and every day by the resurrection? We've also heard over the Sundays of Easter that through the resurrection, we have become the children of God. That's what John says in his first letter. We are God's children now. What we will be has yet to come about. But we are children of God. Think of that. We are adopted children of the Most High God. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we have a Father who loves us. And I said in my homily that particular weekend that we have this loving Father who encourages us to step out in faith and do great things. He's there to support us. And he delights in us when we step out in faith and do great things in his name. That's the Father. Our earthly fathers may not quite fit that model, but our heavenly Father does. And if you've been a parent, you know that when your child does something, they come running to you, "Mom, Dad, look at what I've done." You don't turn away from them. You say, "Oh, that's wonderful." That's God the Father. So we're God's children. And I always say to people, start a conversation at a cocktail party by saying, "Oh, do you know I'm a child of God?" Boy, who knows what would happen? But they'd say, "Why are you bringing that up?" And you say, "Well, you know, it's something to rejoice in, to be joyful about." So we are God's children. And we also are co-heirs to the kingdom because we are God's children. So there again, is that something to make us joyful? And as I've also said, that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something we need to practice. If we have joy, it means that we are somehow in sync with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We may not think of them as being a joyful Trinity, but they are. They rejoice in us. They enjoy us. And when we show that joy in our lives, we're simply showing what's going on with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there again, we have been made children of God. And what does Jesus say? Again, we are told by Jesus, "I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends." Isn't that amazing? Here is God, the Son, saying, I don't want you to just slave around, do this, but I want you to be my friend. And a friend is one who can count on other friends, who is going to be supported, who's going to have a community where we can feel comfortable, welcomed, honored, so forth and so on, so that we can go out and do the work of God. So we're the friends of God. Try that at a cocktail party. I'm a friend of God. But that's what we are. You know, well, we're not talking theological principles here, but we're talking about the reality that God is giving to us so that we can be joyful, so that we can show the joy of our faith in what God has done for us. And yes, when we fail, we're also told, fine, I'm not going to put you down, but I will prune you so that you can get those gifts out. You can let that joy out better. When we sin, we can ask for forgiveness, and God readily forgives our sins. Isn't that a joyful thing, that the Almighty God doesn't say, look, you messed up and that's it? But that's not the story of salvation. God again and again allows us to come to him and to repent and to be forgiven so that we can go back out as his beloved children and do the work we are called to do. In today's readings, Paul puts it, I think, very well. He says, even though we know the Father, we know of the resurrection of Christ, we're still groaning. It still seems kind of a drudgery in our lives. Okay. That's something because of our human nature. But Paul also reminds us that because of the Holy Spirit, we have hope. And again, hope is not wishful thinking. It's a conviction that no matter what I'm thinking, no matter what I'm going through, God is God and will fulfill his promises. So we don't have to worry. And of course, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is fulfilling his promise. I will send to you an advocate. I will send to you the Holy Spirit. What is an advocate? It's one who defends people, who supports them, who comes to their help. The Holy Spirit is here to help us, not judge us, but to help us to be on fire with the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can go forth in joy and be the people that God has called us to be. And Jesus himself says, I'm full of joy. I have the perfection of joy. And I want each one of you to be fulfilled in joy. That's Jesus' desire for us. Not that we just stay with the groaning part, but that we kind of look at what the reality is and what God has done for us so that we say, I have no excuse not to be joyful, not to be faithful, not to trust in the Lord. And so that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, I'm here. And not just he's here, but he gives us gifts, all sorts of wonderful gifts, so that we can be on fire as his disciples. And I don't know what gifts you have, but every one of us has probably a couple gifts from the Holy Spirit. And it's our obligation to find out what those gifts are, to through prayer, through talking about that with someone else, to comparing maybe what we like to do, and maybe that's part of the gift that I'm called to use to proclaim the gospel. Maybe someone here has the gift of healing. Again, we hear in the scriptures all through Easter that after the realization that Jesus truly rose from the dead, the apostles are out not only preaching in the temple, but they're doing miracles. They're doing miracles. They're healing people. And Jesus never said, when I leave, you can't do anything. He says, okay, do what I have done and do even greater things. So what are your gifts? What are the miracles that God wants you to do in the world? Someone here may have the gift of physical healing through prayer. Have you tried it, if you think you have it? Have you gone to someone and prayed over them? And of course, as a community, to talk about this and to challenge our way of thinking and to support one another in our gifts. But there's no reason to say the gifts of healing aren't in our congregation. And can you imagine what would happen if it got out that people who came here who were blind or they were deaf or dying of cancer were prayed over and they were healed? What would happen? Well, the promise is there. The promise is there. That can happen because Jesus said it, and the Holy Spirit guarantees it. So again, there's no good reason, at the very least, not to give lip service to the fact that we are called to be joyful people, disciples. But again, we have to practice it. We have to practice being joyful. We have to practice the gifts that God has given us. I mean, it's not going to suddenly come to me, oh, this is my gift, and I do it. No, through prayerful discernment with other people, I'm going to look at something and say, I think this may be the gift. What do I have to do? I have to go out and try it. And try it again. And try it again. And with the support of the community, I will know if indeed this is my gift or maybe it's another one. But every one of us, through baptism, has been given gifts from the Holy Spirit. Are we using them? So again, this feast day is not just, oh, this is wonderful, it happened to the apostles, they were all joyful, they spoke in tongues, everybody understood them. This is not something that was just about an event 2,000 years ago. It continues, just like the Eucharist, when we celebrate it. It's not about a one-time event. It's about something that continues to reverberate and explode in our midst. And if we've gotten tired of it, if we've moved away from focusing on our faith, well, again, there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's there to prompt us, to perhaps put a little fire in us, so that we can be the Christians we're called to be. So it doesn't matter who we are, how young we are, how old we are, whether we're educated or not. Doesn't matter. God expects each one of us to use the gifts we have as unique individuals, as God's sons and daughters, as God's friends, as joyful Christians, to go forth and proclaim the gospel. But again, it's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen through osmosis. It's not going to happen... Well, maybe it will happen if an angel comes up to you and taps you on the shoulder. I keep praying for that. It hasn't happened. But all the information I need is here. We have it. We listen to it every week. We celebrate it in the Eucharist every week. But do we act on it? That's where the rubber hits the road, to actually act on what we are celebrating right now. So you're not going to hear me ask that question again, were you overcome with paschal joy? Well, maybe you will. Maybe later I will. Or did you leap for joy? Because again, boy, that's a great way to get people's attention. You do that in Wegmans, people are going to wonder about you. But that's good. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. It's a good thing because then we're going to be kind of prompted and pushed to actually talk about our faith. So even though today, this weekend, we end the season of Easter, it doesn't mean Easter's over. It never is. It doesn't mean that there's nothing to look forward to. Well, again, if we're faithful, Jesus says, you're going to be resurrected too. Your body's going to be glorified too. Is that something to be joyful about, to look forward to? No aches and pains, no tears? But in the meantime, between now and that point of time, we're called to do work. So as long as we are in the flesh, as long as we are breathing, we have great work to do. So I just invite you again, as I have every weekend, to think about joy in your life. And again, it's not a feeling that comes and goes, an emotion. It's a deep down conviction that I can practice showing in my life through my actions, through my words, because joy is so needed in our world, always has been. I think particularly today with all the challenges we have in our country and the world, I want to be with joyful people, don't you? But we have every reason to be joyful, to be on fire with the faith. So as you go forth, keep remembering Easter is every day. We're challenged every day to be joyful disciples, and we're called especially to bring that great gift, that great fruit of the Holy Spirit into the world. The world that's starving for joy, that wants to see that joy so that they can come to Jesus and know the fullness of life, to know Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.